Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, over the approaching several days, we are going to be commemorating three significant occasions. This Sunday, we will be celebrating the Feast of Christ the King. And then the following week, the beginning of Advent. And then, of course, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, which, after all, is one of the few national holidays with a strong religious element to it. And I think there is a marvelous connection among these three significant occasions that I should like to mention with you. When we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, we celebrate really the conclusion of our liturgical year and the season of ordinary time. And it is an occasion for us to understand more clearly what our commemoration of ordinary time was all about. Its purpose is to allow us to draw those great mysteries of our Christian faith more deeply into our everyday life, the mystery of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery of the incarnation and the birth of our Lord Jesus, and as well the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. All of these great mysteries allow us to understand more clearly what it is that God has revealed to us, the power of redemption and salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and how we are to live our ordinary lives in our own particular place and time. And the conclusion of that ordinary time comes with the celebration of that feast of Christ the King, which is an assertion on our part that at the end of all time, the fullness of the mystery of Christ will be revealed, and all will be all in that Christ who really is our King, our monarch, the one before whom we bend our knee. It is also a realization of the definitive victory of Jesus Christ over all that could threaten our human dignity, over all that could threaten the plan and purpose of God revealed in his Son. And in that feast of Christ the King, a very joyful feast, we come to understand more precisely what it means to acclaim Jesus as Lord of all. How, in fact, this was revealed not only in his coming among us as one of us in all things but sin, what has been revealed in his preaching, but more perfectly in his willingness to die for our sake and to rise to new life, to invite us to that new life and that life forever. And in celebrating the Feast of Christ the King, we celebrate that definitive victory of Christ to be fully revealed in his second coming at the end of all time. But we also celebrate the fact that Christ the King is the source of our hope and our sureness, that our lives here on this earth have meaning and power and an extraordinary future. In that Christ the King, we know our purpose. We are no longer blind or deaf to the reality about us, but we understand the power of its truth and we live by it. Indeed, Christ is the Lord. He is the King of our lives, and the only one who can claim absolute authority over us. But immediately following, of course, the conclusion of ordinary time in the Feast of Christ the King, is the season of Advent, the ever new beginning. And these two celebrations, we celebrate simultaneously an end and a beginning. And in fact, in Advent, that beginning is always and ever new. We wait with great expectation for the second coming of Jesus Christ by remembering his first, how Christ came among us in a totally unexpected way, by taking on our human flesh, being born in a very particular historical place and time. And from that moment of great obscurity, really, flowed the extraordinary power of the revelation of God's love for us. And remembering how Christ came among us on that first time, we understand that in his second coming, it will not be necessarily one of obscurity, but one of glory to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear the sound of his voice. The Church celebrates the great mysteries of our faith again and again and again, year after year, as we wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that constant annual celebration of all of these feasts, our understanding of the faith is widened, and our commitment to it is deepened, and our faith is strengthened. For in the great revelation of God, there is a powerful richness that will not be fathomed by us even in eternity. But with the start of Advent, we are invited once again to proclaim what God has done for us, to plunge ourselves into his great mystery, to celebrate both its joy and its difficulties. And in the great season of Advent that we will begin very shortly, we understand the importance of two major virtues. The one is the virtue of patience, the willingness to wait, and to wait with great hope, in that faith and understanding that the God who has sent Christ among us is a God whom we trust and have confidence in, even though we may not see all things clearly, even though we may face challenges and difficulties, we wait for the hand of God to show itself, and that hand of God will surely make itself known. But there's also the virtue of vigilance. That is a watchfulness, keeping ourselves alert to the signs of God's presence among us, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, and a vigilance that keeps us prepared. By drawing virtues into our lives, by living according to the word of our Lord, and also by understanding how our Lord is already present to us in his sacraments and in his word that is preached. And it is particularly important to pursue these virtues of patience and vigilance in our own times, in our own secular history, because there are many challenges in our everyday life, in the world about us. Some of them are extraordinarily important, some of them very, very challenging to us. But in all things, in our patient endurance, we know that behind this lies the coming power and majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we hail as King and Lord. Now, I say that these two significant occasions that will be celebrated in the liturgy have an importance because, in a sense, they touch upon our national day of Thanksgiving, a long-standing tradition in the United States. And I mentioned that it is one of the few national holidays with a very strong religious element. And when I think of the acclamation of Christ as King and the wonderful celebration of Advent in quietness and in prayer and vigilance and patience, I think here, if we're looking for any sort of reason to give thanks, we find it. And I think in keeping our two great religious celebrations, Christ the King and Advent, in mind, as we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving, we find that we have profound reasons to be thankful. And we have to remember that we give thanks for those gifts we have received. That is, they are gifts. They're not something we have earned or made by our own hands, or we would expect from our own efforts. We have no claim on them. They are purely gifts. And in gathering all of those gifts, we turn our minds naturally to the fact that there has to be a giver, that there are things that we have received, that we have received out of a profound love of a creating God. And if we turn our minds on this day of Thanksgiving to the giver of those many gifts, we at the same time turn away from egotism and the fatal belief that we are our own creators. For this egotism, this false belief, always ends in disaster, as a simple glance at the history of the human race will tell us. So on this Thanksgiving Day, when we are also preparing to celebrate Christ the King and prepare to celebrate Advent, we want to give thanks for what we have received and remember the greater gifts which makes all other things possible and meaningful. The gift of our lives, a freely given one, something we did not earn, we could not have purchased. And the fact that we are alive means that we understand that there is a gift of a world in which we live, a world filled with promise that touches upon the very glory and power of God that sustains us in our daily life. We remember the great gift of the communities in which we are born. For as God said after the creation of Adam, it is not good for man to be alone, that we achieve the fullness of our human personality only in a community of others. It is from that community that we have so often received such a rich inheritance, a sense of being in the proper place. We sense a past, a memory. We are encouraged by the community in our presence, and we commit ourselves to a future of that community in a new generation. We give thanks also for the freedom that we are given to pursue truth and the ability to live according to that truth, for it is only the truth that will make us free. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to celebrate both this end and a beginning, remember that remembering our end and remembering our new beginning, we have a profound reason to give thanks. And thanksgiving is one of the most powerful virtues we can pursue. For in our acts of gratitude, we come to understand our dependence on the eternal love of God, upon his sustaining power among us. And in gratitude, we remember that our lives have a meaning and a purpose, and we are on the way to everlasting glory and eternal life.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.